Life is full of difficulty in the village of Koyuk, Alaska. It's a remote place on the Bering Sea that Cheryl and I visited a week and a half ago. And there we met a faithful follower named Grace. She's an elder in the Koyuk Covenant Church, and for Grace, struggle is a familiar story. She was widowed early on in life and raising her family with limited resources. Even as a believer, she struggled to make sense of her life and how God was at work. Her troubles began to overwhelm and take their toll on Grace to the point that she had more than she could handle and more than she could see for herself. So she shared this story. Out in a meadow, she said, she went, feeling unworthy and overwhelmed by her grief, and she poured out her heart to God. And in that moment, a bird landed on her shoulder. And she heard the voice of God, and she described being overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit in her whole body. Now, it happened so quickly, such a supernatural experience for her, that she wasn't sure if it was really God. So, like Gideon in the Bible, she asked, like we all probably would, "Give me another sign, God." And God did, again, filled her whole being with his presence. And she knew in that moment that God was with her, that she was a beloved child, and she was called to continue the good work that God had begun in her. So, like me, most of us would hope that that calling means that things are going to finally turn around and life is finally going to go smoothly. But that wasn't the case for the Covenant Church in Koyuk, Alaska, or for Grace. In time, Grace's pastor moved on, and she was left with a few other elders to keep the church going, which is something that they knew how to do. They knew how to survive in tough circumstances. So Grace went about keeping the doors of the church opening, coming in on those freezing Sunday mornings, lighting the kerosene stove, melting the frost off the sagging rafters in the old dilapidated building. Most mornings, it was just a handful of members that faithfully came and gathered, but sometimes it was just Grace. And Grace said, rather than closing the doors, I would come in, I would heat up the stove a little bit, I would sit down at the piano and play a hymn, and I would read the scripture, and she said I would pray. And she worshiped and prayed and asked God for revival in her little covenant church. That went on for a year, and then another year, and then in the third year, Grace chose to persist. So she settled into a pattern of leading worship, singing hymns, reading scripture, and sharing a message with anyone who would listen. Because that's really what faithful followers do. They remain faithful, especially when sacrifice is required. They went on another year, and another year, and another year after that, until after 10 years without a pastor, God set the time to send a spirit-filled servant leader to lead Grace's church, Pastor Don. And he came alongside what God was doing and rallied the church together to see God do something new. And that new thing that we experienced there, I would call revival. What I saw, not only was God providing for them with a brand new building built by Samaritan's Purse, a beautiful place, but the Lord was adding to their numbers those who were being saved. Just like Scripture says, Grace couldn't be more filled with joy as she shared in worship alongside with her daughter and her grandkids and her great-grandkids, seeing generations now coming to faith in Jesus. For the joy set before Grace, she endured. You know, and that's really the scripture in Hebrews. It says about Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and its shame, and then sitting down at the right hand of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is at work. Right now, he is setting the stage for what God has planned for his people and for his church. And he is calling the church to faithful obedience in every season, in this particular season right now. And yet, for so many of us as disciples, as followers, it's easy for us to get settled into a self-centered version of what we want for the church. Now, I'm not blaming us. It's natural, right? We always tend towards ease and comfort. It's a normal kind of thing. That's what we do as human beings. But Jesus is clear that it's not the upside-down nature of discipleship. He calls us to something different. So that's where actually most of us need to focus energy and some of our attention on this constant pushback against comfort and ease. Again, it's not a bad thing, right? God calls us to rest, and we need to do that. But we don't want that ease to overtake that clear and consistent call to live as sacrificial disciples. Jesus said this when he described Peter's dilemma. He said, "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." If you're stuck not being able to see God's point of view, then how are we going to shift that perspective? How do we move from our self-centeredness to viewing things from God's standpoint? Well, if we're going to be a devoted follower of Jesus, that's the goal. So how do we do that? Jesus got very real with the disciples at the end of his ministry, and he shared how to follow him. He shared the way to do this. He said, if anyone wants to be my follower, and I hope today that you're here in a pending blizzard in order to be a follower. You're here because that's your heart's desire. If any of you wants to be my follower, Jesus said, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And the question is, how do we do that? Well, Jesus said simply, give up your own way. That's not that easy to do. I mean, he's talking about actually renouncing ourselves, that we belong now to Christ, that we actually willingly sacrifice our own desires, our own way, in order for Christ to determine how he wants to use us and where he wants to send us. In Romans 14:8, it says, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Jesus said, give up your own way. And then he said, take up your cross. We have an image, a symbol of the cross right there. What does that mean? Well, discipleship is characterized by this dying to ourselves and living for the Lord. We don't live for ourselves. We live and die, if we must, for the Lord. Now, that's pretty strong words, right? To die for the Lord. It's an all-in kind of following. So how do we do this? Romans 15:3 says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. In other words, Jesus lived for the glory of his Father. You know, it's a path that Jesus chose for himself, and he calls us to that same following. He says, follow me. Again, the question is, how do we do that? Well, sometimes the only way is to simply just go for it, to jump in. You know, as I read the scriptures, I'm pretty sure that the disciples had no idea what they had signed up for, especially that last week of Jesus' life as he was going to the cross. You know, that the intimate conversations that Jesus had at the Last Supper, I think it reveals so much. In John's gospel, Jesus told his disciples, with all sincerity, he said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. You know, that whole idea that, you know, I want you to know what's going on, but you can't even handle it. You ever feel like that sometimes? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. They would eventually understand everything that Jesus meant. But the only way they were going to get there is just to simply take that first step, to simply jump in and go through it. Anybody ever stood on the end of a high diving board for the very first time? And you're standing up there, looking down, and you see that nice blue water down there. It looks so great, but then you begin to realize, wow, this is really high, right? This is way up there, and it's a little scary, and you have no idea what it's going to be like to jump off that board. So how are you ever going to know? Any thoughts? You got to take the plunge, right? You got to jump. You have to take the plunge, and then you're going to experience everything about what it means to jump off a high diving board. And for most people, most of the time, that means climbing back up and doing it again because it was awesome, right? It was great. That's what it means for us in discipleship. Sometimes we just have no idea what it's going to mean, and we try to figure it all out. We try to get all the knowledge we can. We want to know every detail about what it's going to be like, but there's no way until we actually take that first step. You know, that's called faith. Take the plunge. Jump in. Jesus had been teaching his disciples for about 3 years about the kingdom of God, about the Messiah, about what he was going to do. And now the disciples are about to jump in and go deep on this very last week before Jesus goes to the cross. In Matthew 16, it says, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many terrible things at the hand of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead." They couldn't see it. They didn't understand it. They didn't know what he meant, but they were there. They were going through it with Jesus. And finally, after 3 years of wandering through Galilee, the disciples join the crowds as they are worshiping and celebrating Jesus coming into Jerusalem as the Messiah, the King, the one who was going to save them. Finally, they're thinking in the back of their minds, we're going to take our places in this royal court in the palace with Jesus as King. How awesome is that? I can just imagine Jesus shaking his head and going, "They don't understand. They don't get it." And they didn't. In fact, Peter took Jesus aside to reprimand him, saying, "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you. Lord, this is not my plan." Peter said, "Have you ever told God how things are going to be?" Probably. You know, if you're like me, probably. "God, you know, I think it should go like this. This is what you should do for me. This is the way I've got this all planned out, God." But it doesn't work that way. Jesus responded to Peter like this. He said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." How do we view things from God's point of view? Well, Jesus said, you do it like this. Give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you're trying to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, Jesus said, you will save it. The disciples had to go deep fast in order to understand what it meant to truly live life. And the result of that initially seemed like a massive failure. Jesus was arrested, tried, brutally beaten, and crucified on a cross. Instead of following him, the disciples scattered, and even Peter, who vowed that he would die with Christ, he denied him 3 times. But was it a failure, or was it God's plan? You know, just a few days later, on the other side of the crucifixion was a resurrection that changed everything. What the disciples first saw as a crushing defeat was God's plan all along. Scattering the disciples allowed them to be spared their own deaths while Jesus was defeating sin's grip and overcoming death. He displayed the lengths to which God would go to reconcile others to himself because of his great love. And his love overcame the sin that separates us and powerfully demonstrates the salvation that transforms every believer. And through the rest of the New Testament, as we read the Bible, we witness deeply transformed disciples who took the plunge and who changed the world through the power of the gospel. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." The gospel It's the power of God at work. Do you want a break? Jesus died and rose again. Transformation and new life comes through death and resurrection. It comes because the old is gone and the new is here. It comes through an inner change, a new life. It comes through dying to ourselves and living for Christ. It comes by the power of God. It comes through the revival that comes as the Spirit moves in the church. And the only way to experience it is to simply jump in, to simply go all in. Jesus said, if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. If you do it for the gospel, you'll save it. Back when I was too small to drive, my two oldest sisters got an early lesson in driving grain trucks. Now, this was my favorite truck, 1940-something, I think, Chevy. And my dad had acquired some land about 20 miles away from the farm, and he needed to get all the equipment up there and short on hand, so he told my two oldest sisters that they were going to drive them. And they told Dad that they had never done that before. They had no idea how to drive these old stick shift trucks. To which Dad replied, you'll know how by the time you get there. I don't think that was very reassuring to them. You know, as they hopped in and began to drive. I don't know if anybody recognizes that sound. That's what it sounds like when you're trying to find the gears and grinding between the first and the second. Anyway, they started off. I don't know. Have you ever tried to drive a clutch? You know, first time you get going, it's, and then you try to shift, and then you get driving really good, but then you come to a stop sign. What do you have to do? You have to stop, and then you start out. Anyway, they went on and continued until they finally got there. One day, my sisters were riding horses, being kids. The next day, they're truck drivers and vital partners in the family farm. So what changed? They went all in, right? They went deep, fast. Jesus' disciples went deep, fast. They witnessed Jesus being crucified and buried. They saw the tomb sealed. The sun set on the promised king, or so they thought. Surely it seemed to be finished, like Jesus said in his final words. That was until the third day. Friends, we have to keep our eyes on the third day. We need to keep our eyes on the hope of the empty tomb, and we need to hold on to the promise of the resurrection and victory over death. Joy out of suffering and hope of transformed lives. The old is truly gone and the new has come. We're heading into Good Friday. It is the darkest hour of the gospel, but it is the power of God at work and saves everyone who believes. Friends, revival comes not through buildings or programs or elections. It comes through the gospel being shared by Bethlehem Covenant Church and all his faithful followers to go all in, preaching and teaching and living the good news of forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name. You know, a dozen years ago, we had a vision as a church to reach more people in our communities with the good news of Jesus. And that vision included growing. And we sensed that God was inviting us to serve in our community through kids and youth ministry. And we started small, adding one kid at a time, inviting one more kid to youth group. And as we did, we committed to training and equipping leaders to serve in those ministries to which God had called us. And then we started to see the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does, add to our numbers as we began to share. And we realized maybe what we weren't saying, and that was this, that if we wanted to grow, and we believed we did, it was going to cost us more. More kids, more youth, more people won't mean easier way for us or less personal responsibility, it will mean more. It will cost us more in personal sacrifice. And we said yes. It will cost us more money. And we said yes. It will cost us more time. And we said yes. It will mean more investment of our lives in our commitment to the gospel. And we said yes. If we wanted God to do more, it would mean that we would sacrifice more of ourselves so we could be used by God in a greater way. We committed to jump in. And you did. You sacrificed. You stepped up. You witnessed more. And then we witnessed God do more than we ever could ask or imagine. You know, yesterday at the turkey dinner, we were walking through the new building, and someone who's been here for quite some time said to me, "Did you ever think this would happen?" You know, I get the sentiment, it's like, wow, look at that. It's there, right? But the answer truly is, I believe we all believed it would happen as we stepped up. We sensed that the Holy Spirit was calling us to take a step of faith. 6.5 years ago, when we hired Pastor Greg and Miranda came, we didn't have the budget for it, but we stepped out by faith because we knew that God was calling us to take that step. And after a season of overgrowth, again, we asked if we were ready to take that big step of faith once more, knowing that we were already stretched, but could we step out again? And we discerned that God's call was to go ahead, so we made plans. And then the pandemic seemed to kill the project. I think that was our Good Friday moment. To test, to see, where we thought in some ways maybe it's all lost. And yet, God had a plan through it. And we committed, and we pledged, and we sacrificed, and we rallied. And today it's almost finished. We almost have this. We have this amazing new facility, and we have one common goal, and that is to extend the reach of the gospel in our region, to extend the reach of Christ. So, mission friends, I believe we are on the edge of a new revival. Not the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday kind of impromptu, short-lived crowds that quickly come and go. Not that. I think we're on the edge of a revival of dying to ourselves and sacrificially living for Jesus. The kind of revival that transforms generations. What we are doing is not about us. It's not about building a comfortable congregation to serve ourselves. It's actually the opposite. I think we have the greatest opportunity we have ever seen before us right now. In our region, kids are hungry for God's word. Students are growing deeper and deeper because of faithful teaching. Young parents and babies with babies are connecting. And this is the time to raise up a new generation of devoted followers of Jesus who are making followers of Jesus. And I believe that we are called as a church to do that from friend to friend, and home to home, and community to community, and across the country from Alaska all the way to Belize and around the world, wherever God is leading us. And I'm asking us no more than what Jesus asks of us, to follow him. Follow him, knowing it's going to cost more. Follow him, knowing it's going to cost more of your time. Follow him, knowing it's going to mean giving more of yourself. Follow him. I'm inviting to give your very life for Jesus and the gospel. And what will you get in return? Everything. Everything that matters. Jesus says, "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You will live it. You'll have it for eternity. Life that is really life." And Jesus knew what was ahead for his disciples. They just didn't realize it yet. Jesus knows what's ahead for you in Bethlehem Covenant Church. And my invitation is to jump in today. Even in a blizzard, go all in. Disciple somebody, anybody. Start today. Go all in and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you call us beyond ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that even though we don't understand what you are truly sharing and saying sometimes when you say, give up your life for the sake of the gospel and gain it. Lord, but we do trust you. We do know that you are life and life in all its abundance. And so, Lord, help us to simply take the plunge, to take that first step, whatever you are calling us to, wherever you are leading us, Lord, to just jump, to step in and trust where you will take us. And as we do, Lord, may your name be glorified and may others come to know you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.